cancer diagnosis at the age of 32, my mom and I talked a lot about the shock of that diagnosis, given several doctors told us you're too young to have endometrial cancer. After much discussion, we began to feel driven to inform and help educate other young women about what symptoms they should be concerned.
Having both been teachers, it seemed natural for us to look for a way to share Alex's cancer journey in order to help other young women avoid such a shocking diagnosis or possibly navigate a similar path. A podcast seemed the best way to get the word out, and that's how Down There Aware was born.
4 years later, our mother-daughter duo has gone from educating and informing to advocacy and action, with a fresh and sometimes very interesting and somewhat humorous multi-generational perspective.
We look forward to sharing with you season 4 as we advocate, take action, and make it a priority to always be
Down There Aware.
Welcome back to another episode of Down There Aware. We missed you last week.
Welcome back. Don't remember the rest of the words.
Yeah, we took an unexpected week off. Whew. That was a bit of a doozy. What I thought, and we posted what I thought was food poisoning. We think it was just like a 24-hour bug, but it was crazy. And then I went on a work trip for 4 days. So we missed our window.
Yeah, had to take a break.
But we have put out an episode every week since January up until last week.
Wow. And you know, the fact that we had to take an unexpected break sort of ties in with what we want to talk about today.
A little bit. Yeah. Dealing with the unexpected.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we know no matter what happens in your life, things will not go as you plan. Yeah, at some point.
You can't always predict what's always happening.
Exactly. Whether that's a diagnosis, a car wreck, anything.
Loss of a job.
I mean, literally anything. And what kickstarted this was an article I read. And I want to say, before we get into it, that...
Disclaimer.
So... generally speaking, correct me if I'm wrong, I, particularly on the podcast, maybe not so much in life, but particularly on the podcast, I try very hard to look at both sides, to kind of report without bias and form, you know, an informed opinion based on lots of different information.
Yeah.
And really trying not to judge people because I don't know how I would respond in that circumstance.
Right. We never know.
And we've talked about that before.
We think we might.
We think we might. And we think we would have a plan, but we might not know. But my disclaimer is I can't do that today. This article, and it is first person.
Yeah.
The article was written from the person who this is about, who I am judging hard. And you'll see why.
Why don't you lay the foundation?
Yeah. So there is, and we'll post the actual article so you can read it in its detail. But there was a couple, a man and a woman, who met very shortly before the pandemic. And this is in the UK, and they found themselves really... Quit interrupting me. Found themselves kind of going into this lockdown. And as we know, the UK had pretty strict lockdown. And so as a result of that, decided to move in together very quickly, probably quicker than they would have otherwise, because they were not going to be able to see each other kind of thing. And so they grew very close, ended up getting engaged. Shortly after, the man started having some weird symptoms and ultimately, through several processes, was diagnosed with a very rare brainstem tumor.
Yeah. Now, before the diagnosis, when we've talked about this in other episodes, mm-hmm. he was diagnosed with vertigo. He was diagnosed with a lot of lesser.
Yeah. When I say it was a process, it was a process.
Yeah.
And so bouncing
and they went
around
through that together.
Yeah. They went through that together. She was super supportive. And, then it got to a point where the diagnosis came. This is a very rare kind of cancer. It's a very rare kind of tumor. They were going to operate on it, but they didn't know what was going to happen. And the woman in the scenario, who's writing the article, said that it was too much for her. And for her mental health, it was too much.
And it changed their future plans.
And this was before his surgery. And she went and stayed with her parents. Was not there when he had his surgery. Was not supportive in being there physically. Says he understood. And then proceeded to, after he was had his surgery and was in the hospital healing, she came to the hospital and broke up with him and said, we're not going to get married. And I had a visceral reaction to reading these words. And side note, just to put, you know, salt in the wound, she's raising money and running a marathon or something in his honor to support this kind of brain cancer research. And it's like, first off, you're making this about you and it's not about you. And secondly, if you were going to commit to somebody in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, all the things that people say at their weddings, why did it matter that the marriage hadn't happened yet? You knew you were committing to that. And so I just wanted to discuss because I read this weeks ago and I'm still fired up about it.
Well, and when I read it, I was just taken aback by I, me. Everything in the article was how it affected her.
Yep.
How she felt, what she didn't want. And there really was nothing in the article about, there was no empathy in her for him.
Right. Talk about, our plans and what I thought my future was going to be like. You don't think his future?
Exactly.
You don't think that it had an impact on what he thought his future was going to be? I mean, he's going to die sooner than he ever imagined. And I also think it's a little bit of ableism in that where the tumor was and where he had the surgery, he had impairments after, and she was going to need to be caregiver.
It wasn't impairments that kept him. I mean, he didn't have to be fed bedbound.
And he could have therapy to work through those. So it was most likely temporary. But he wasn't going to be hiking and mountain climbing and doing all those other things that they had done together and gotten to know, you know, each other during the pandemic and all of those activities. That just wasn't her future. And I just can't, and I'm not saying like, I'm so much better than that. I would never do that. Because again, you don't know what you would do.
You don't know.
But it just seems that, talk about looking at something from both sides, her entire perspective from the article she wrote to articles that have been written about her has been me. And even the article that she wrote, she said, I just want to get this out there because I know there are other people like me. It's almost like seeking that validation of like,
what I did
is totally fine. Like, it's totally fine that I left someone high and dry after I had told them I was going to commit myself to them forever.
Well, and I think we, generally, we are not the kind of people who say, this is the way I did it, or this is the way I think I would do it, and so I'm right and you're wrong.
Right.
In fact, I think we're very careful to say, this is my perspective, you know, you have your own opinions and that. I think what we're saying in regard to this specific situation is, we just don't get it. We can't even imagine how someone would behave that way. And in the article, she says, Oh, and he understood.
Right.
He understood what I was saying. Well, what's he going
to
do?
What is he going to say to you? Like, you know, in that moment, first off, I'm going to get it wrong. Maslow.
Oh, Maslow's.
Hierarchy of needs. He's worried about staying alive right now. Like, he's not worried about all the other stuff that you're talking about. And it's like, okay, go. Like, I can understand that perspective. You know, if somebody had come and dumped me in that moment. But it also kind of makes you wonder. And again, this is going down the rabbit hole, and and we can talk and have, you know, judgments on other things. And again, this is not a generalization. I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but it makes you wonder, you know, did they feel forced to get together so quickly because of the pandemic? And maybe if they had dated a little longer, if they had gotten to know one another, it wouldn't have gotten to that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of this, you hear stories about, and I will find them and put them on the website and link to them. You hear stories about people who were dating or engaged and were received a terminal diagnosis, and they got married in the hospital because they wanted to make sure that, you know, that happened, or they something terrible happened, but they continued. I mean, I had a friend in college who it was her senior year. She was engaged and she fell asleep at the wheel and had a horrific car accident, broke her pelvis in many places, had to relearn to walk. And her future husband stood by her. They went through all of her physical therapy, everything. You know, they worked out the details of the changing the wedding, where she had to sit for some parts of it and she danced on his feet for, you know, the first dance. And he stood by her, and they are together and have children and have had a happy life. But he, in this scenario, it would have been very similar to be like, I don't want to deal with physical therapy.
This isn't the future I planned.
This isn't the future I, you know.
Yeah.
And so it really makes you question people's character.
Well, and the other scenario is some people who receive a terminal diagnosis, they cut it off because they say, I don't want you to have to deal with this. I have medical professionals who will take care of me. I don't want you to spend your time doing it. That's a whole different scenario.
Yes, because it's the person who's impacted. It's their choice.
Yes. And they're the ones who received the diagnosis. And I think the way this ties in is probably a big percentage of our listeners have received some news that changed the trajectory of their lives.
Yeah.
And so maybe it wasn't a diagnosis, but like you said before, it could be so many other things. And how you behave in that moment can make or break your future, which direction you go in. And that happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, it's even not life-threatening, serious kind of situations, you don't get a job you're looking for.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, or a promotion that you've applied for or something. And you can use that as an opportunity to wallow and just kind of stay stagnant in what you're doing. Or you can use it as an opportunity to grow and change and, you know, make a move in one way or another. You can use that as a springboard. You can use it as, all right, I'm going to roll up the punches. I'm just going to figure this out and grow and learn from this experience. Or you can just sit and wallow in it and poor me, this happened to me. You know, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. Certainly I've had moments of like, seriously, why cancer? But just got to roll with it. It's something that I cannot change.
Well, and talk about changing the trajectory of your life. At 32, you're diagnosed with endometrial cancer. You have to have a hysterectomy. Your plan to birth children is out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a major blow. Your plans don't look like they used to look.
Right.
So I just don't understand when that involves someone else, like it did her ex-fiance, how like you said, she made the commitment to get engaged with the plan of getting married in sickness and in health. But then now you're too sick. It's too much sickness.
Right. And it just makes you wonder, where is the limit? Like what, you know, and it also makes you think when you're getting into a relationship or even, I don't even mean a romantic relationship, a friendship, anything. At what point are you going to say,
can't do it.
Can't do it. Yeah. No, that's too much for me. And, you know, I'm not denying that mental health is a big concern in our country, that it has a huge impact on a daily basis with millions of individuals. However, I do think in this scenario, it's a cop out. And I think it's sad.
Well, did she really even talk about mental health?
Yes, she said that her mental health was impacted by everything that was going on. And it's like, yes, you probably are feeling a lot of things.
What about his mental
health? But how you deal with it is not by just stepping out of it and ignoring it.
Well, clearly we don't know her.
No,
but I would love to know how she has dealt with life in general. Yeah. Did any time anything happen that she didn't like, did she turn and run? Or did she?
I mean, is this just a pattern for her?
That, you know, we don't know that.
No, we don't. And we can speculate all day long.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was writing a novel, yes, of course, this would be like, you know, a pattern of her life. But who knows, truly? And no one knows except now I will say, she's putting this out there.
That's what I can't believe. Not only is she putting it out there, but it's, I mean, it's gone viral.
It really has. And I think what amazes me is this is not like news reporting on, oh, did you hear? Or he's not talking about, oh, did you hear? Like my fiance left me. She's blasting this out there. And I don't know if she was trying to do it like proactively of, okay, this is probably going to get out there. I want to kind of control the story. Because I think it's gone off the rails and I don't think she's controlling the story.
Well, I read several responses. I didn't read all of them because there are tons, but I read several and I didn't read any positive ones.
Oh, no. The comment section is fire. I mean, it is like exactly what you would expect the comment section to be like.
Yeah. And I think it's because people can't fathom that. They just can't. Mm-hmm. And even I think, again, speculation. I think if she'd stuck it out and given it a good shot, and even before it was the end for him, she said, I just can't do this anymore. I've done it for however long and, you know, it's killing me. I can't.
Yeah, it does seem.
It's like she didn't even try.
It's a very knee-jerk reaction. It's, I mean, before his surgery,
She was gone. Well, and what I remember, her mother and mother-in-law were the ones to convince her to wait till after the surgery to even tell him.
Well, yeah, because we know scientifically that your emotional state, your mental state going into surgery can have an impact on how you respond and
how you heal
and come out of anesthesia and all of that. So, I mean, good on them that they convinced her to wait, but it still just blows my mind. Like it makes you wonder if it is another scenario with a different kind of relationship. Say a child is born and has an accident at 5 years old. You can give the kid up for adoption because it's too hard on your mental health. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems unfathomable to me.
Well, and I do think, especially now, we have a lot of research that talks to us about self-care and mental health and how important it is. And there's really no reason why she couldn't have done both. She couldn't have stuck with him, help take care of him or be careful to be sure he is taken care of. Not that she physically
she
had
have to
do
be
it,
the caregiver,
but to be a part of his life like she promised and still take care of herself. I mean, I think that's really the goal with any buddy who's a caregiver. And I've been there, and caregivers have a tough time.
One of our earliest episodes, we talked about caregiving mm-hmm. and how the caregiver needs to take time for themselves, whether that's having someone step in and sit with the patient while you go get a cup of coffee, go take a shower, mm-hmm. go take a nap, something.
Or even go get groceries or go get your haircut.
Just to be alone for a minute. And we get that. Like, caregiving is difficult. And, you know, not saying that it would have been a walk in the park for her at all. It would have been very, very difficult. But it just seems like threw in the towel, took the easy way out, not even trying to, you know. And in my mind, I'm like, did you really love the guy?
Yeah. Well, and for me, I think there is a way to do both. And I think, speaking from experience in having been a caregiver in several different scenarios with several different family members, mm-hmm. You as the caregiver gain so much from that experience. And to deny yourself that, I don't think is self-care, because don't we all want to continually be learning and improving ourselves and just being a better human being and more empathetic and more understanding? So you deny yourself that caregiving experience within limits, then I think you're doing yourself a disservice. I do believe there is a way, and it's not difficult if you go into it with the mindset that I'm going to help take care of this person, but I'm going to take care of me too, because I can't take care of them if I'm not taking care of myself.
Yeah, you definitely have to set boundaries and make sure that, you know, you're doing everything you can to support yourself so that you can, you know, support the person you're caring for. But I also think she didn't know what that was going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, she just... before anything happened. Yeah,
and it's, as someone who leans, I say I'm a realist, lean pessimist. She went like straight doomsday, mm-hmm. you know, surgery's not going to work. He's going to die tomorrow, all these things. And why would you want to add pain, emotional pain of a breakup on someone who's going through something horrific?
Whether it's a fiance or a friend or a family member, why would you want to add to their grief?
Right. And I'm certainly not saying stay with someone because they think you should stay with them or whatever. But she has said her reason for leaving was his diagnosis and how that changed the trajectory of their future. So, you know, certainly I can see a situation where someone has been a caregiver or something, and the person has, you know, their relationship has changed, or the person has just gotten mean, or there are all kinds of scenarios where, yeah, you're not going to stay with that person. So I'm not saying every person has to stay together, but that, for that to be your reason, just seems really, really immature and
selfish. And selfish.
Help the person who ends up with her. Because as you age,
You change.
You change, and so many things are going to... I mean, like, are you just going to give up on the next one because the next person breaks their leg or gets cancer or gets in a car wreck or whatever? You just going to give up on that too?
Well, and that may be why we have the divorce rate we have. You know, people do change. I'm coming up on 44 years married, and I am certainly not the same person I was 44 years ago. And my husband absolutely was not the person he was 44 years ago. And so you figure out how to roll with the punches if you're committed to that relationship. And I don't want to go into divorce and reasons for divorce. And I'm not saying everybody has to stay married. I'm just saying in my particular case, we're very different people, but we figured it out.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think she didn't give it any time, didn't even try to get supportive resources for herself to try and help him. And it just, it really seems... like someone who is so, so self-centered. And I kind of fear for the next generation, because on the whole, again, generalizations, we know what they are, but on the whole, the next generations are very, very self-centered and less empathetic than others. And it just makes me...
And research will validate that.
Yeah, it just kind of makes me cringe for the future.
I think what bothered me the most, I was reading the article on my phone, and I wished as I was reading it that I had printed it out and had my highlighter, because so many of the statements were, I was going to have to deal with this. My life was not going to be the same. I. And I just thought to myself, what about him? What? And she even says in the article, he handled it so well. He never once asked why. He said, these are the hands I've been dealt. This is the hand I've been dealt, and I'm going to deal with it.
And you would think that would have rubbed off a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really just seems like, and I don't want to project onto her, but it does kind of seem like maybe she didn't want the label of widow or the, you know, whatever it may be. But it really, it's an interesting perspective of not everyone is like you. Right? Not everybody responds the same way you would. But it also really makes you, as someone who hasn't gotten married and maybe one day would like to, kind of makes me wonder about picking a husband.
Yeah, because you think your perception of love and commitment, if you love somebody, truly love somebody, when life throws you a curveball or something happens, don't you still love that person?
Right.
And in the context and the sphere, the bubble of that love, how do you react? How do you behave? We knew someone who had some issues, and his wife decided to leave him. And the way that person left him, we just shook our head and said, you don't treat somebody you love that way. If you want to leave, leave. If right. That's the decision you make.
Yeah, there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
And I also think I had such a visceral reaction to this because I have seen in my own personal life and of others I know, I've seen it in the complete opposite of how people respond to the unexpected.
Yeah.
And how they're gracious and accepting and supportive. And I mean, I could sit here, we could sit here for hours talking about all of the people in our life, friends and family, who, and even famous people, right? Like people we just know about, who have had something unexpected happen to them and their village just swooped in and supported and, mm-hmm. and were there no matter what, no matter how different they were. I mean, I think about people like Michael J. Fox.
Oh,
his
wow.
diagnosis changed the trajectory of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And
big time.
Huge. And his family stuck by him and supported him, even though, yeah, his future looks a whole lot different. Once he got that diagnosis,
the whole family, it changed their whole family dynamic,
everything. And so it just, you know, it really makes you think. And again, we try to stay positive and we try to see things from all angles. I certainly don't want to vilify this woman, but man, even sitting on it for a couple weeks after having read it, I still just have this reaction of how could you? And then how could you broadcast it on top of everything else?
But I think it's like you said, she wanted somebody to say it's okay what you did.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very evident just by, again, how you were saying it's written me and my life, and this is going to change for me, myself, and I. And it just comes from that very selfish perspective. And I think it's a lesson for all of us if we can step back and no matter what happens to us or the people we love and say, okay, how are they feeling? How is this impacting them before I make, you know, any kind of brash decision?
Yeah.
But I do think on the flip side, I have known some women in our support group who their spouses, boyfriends have left, you know, for a number of reasons. And a lot of them come back to, it's just too difficult to live with somebody with cancer. It's just too difficult to, I can't have a baby, or, you know, it's impacting our sex life, or it's whatever. And wow.
Yeah.
So it happens. And so I think it's, we keep it real. And so I think it's good to, you know, to have that perspective of that might happen. It could, you know, it's a possibility. We hope it doesn't, but whew, that was a hard thing to read.
Yeah. And, you know, she made the decision. She took the action. We don't get it.
No,
we just don't understand it.
And I kind of just wish that she would fade away. Right. Like,
yeah,
but this whole marathon thing and raising money and this, that, and the other, it's like, stop being performative. Stop.
Well, still making it about her.
It's all about her. But just stop putting on an act. Like, if you chose to move on, so move on. Be done.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah. I wish, and knowing what we know about her, what little we know about her, we may end up with an update on him. But it did say people with this kind of cancer have a 65% chance of living 5 years.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing.
So it's not like they said you're going to die next month.
No, when they got the when he got the diagnosis and they looked up the, you know, survival rate and whatever, I was like, that's not a bad survival rate. I mean, it's not, cancer's not good, right? And it's, yeah, that's changing the impact of your life, but that's not a bad survival rate. You can still do so many things in that 5 years. It would be more challenging and it would be difficult, but I just would like to think that you would want to make that the best 5 years of that person's life instead of walking away and complaining that it hurt your mental health.
Yeah. I just don't understand. I hope the decision works for her and she goes on to lead a productive life. And I hope that he's able to just, you know, put her behind him.
Yeah.
Although in the article, it says we're still friends.
Well, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. Like I personally, if I were in the reverse of that situation, I would not want to speak to that person. I would say you've made your choice. You know, you don't get to talk about our story. You don't get to, you know, cause it's not about you and you need to move on cause you've chosen to move on.
Yeah.
But whew,
there it is.
That was a little bit different,
a little heavy.
It was a little heavy, but a little bit of a different topic. But I think that, we like to keep it real and, We are current. We're always looking at articles and stuff and sending each other articles of different things. And this one just stood out. I was like, I can't leave this alone. I have to talk about this. So
unexpected turns in our lives.
Yeah.
And how are we going to deal with them?
And I think it says more about your character of how you respond to something unexpected happening than it actually happening. Because we often can't control what happens to us. So thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Down There Aware. Be sure to like and subscribe on our new YouTube channel, as well as on your favorite podcast platform. You can find us at Down There Aware on all social media sites, Twitter, Pinterest, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. If you have it, we're there at Down There Aware. You can learn more on our website, www.downthereaware.com, and always get in touch with us, downthereaware@gmail.com. See you next week.